la pasta per fare macarrone di ungia. E poi cosa devo dire?
Il suo nome.
Il suo nome. Giuseppa. Giuseppa Porco. Allora incomincio?
Sì.
Sì.
That is the most wonderful thing. A little secret here. This is the Blueprint for Living team's favorite YouTube indulgence. It's a series called Pasta Grannies. And there you heard the beginning of the ideal day. A nonna mixing flours and eggs into fresh pasta dough, the way every day should begin. Well, maybe, and maybe too, that's a traditional way of living, of food and of cooking that is fast disappearing. Now, Vicky Benison, the woman behind that YouTube series and now a book, is a food writer, a former international development worker, and she has been filming Italian matriarchs in their realm, in their kitchens, for 5 years. It's part of what she calls a Noah's Ark of hand pasta making technique. Check it out on YouTube, Pasta Grannies, and the book, the same title. And by bizarre coincidence, Vicky joins us now. Vicky, welcome.
Thank you very much indeed.
What a heartwarming enterprise you're engaged in.
Isn't it fabulous? I have the best job in the world.
How did you stumble upon this idea? What's the genesis here?
Well, I'm lucky enough to have a home in Italy, and I noticed that it was only older women who were making pasta on a daily basis. Younger women, like the rest of us, have to go out to work and simply don't have the time to make pasta that way. And they're still relying on their nonnas, of course.
Except looking at some of the nonnas and their work, you suddenly think, well, actually, you know, this is simple. This is a thing which has possibility, even in my crowded life.
It should be. It's a very easy thing to do. It's much easier than pastry or bread or anything like that. Lunch can be whipped up in about 20 minutes, in fact, if it's tagliatelle.
And very often too, that preparation of the pasta, it's surrounded by this whole system of micro food production. There's the vegetable garden, there's preserves, the passata from last season's tomato crop. It's a well-honed process.
Yes, absolutely. And that's actually from the frugality of their lives. Mm. Everything has to count. So the eggs come from a neighbor's, maybe they've bartered a bit. Always the vegetables come from their gardens. If you go around Italy, you'll see they don't have lawns and flower beds. They all have vegetable plots, which is fantastic.
And this is why I think it's probably resonant for so many viewers in modern cities. We're coming to feel the lack of some of that. People are, of course, trying their best to grow things for their own consumption. But that idea of that simplicity is a thing which is a little bit lost.
Yes, there are lots of interesting initiatives happening these days. I think everyone has suddenly kind of cottoned on to, oh, let's not lose it. It's a bit like the environment. It does kind of feed into those discussions, doesn't it? That we need to do something about it and think creatively about how we can continue to have great food, even though we might be living in an urban area. Mm. And certainly for Italians, they keep going back to their roots. Even when you have Italian communities here in London, they all disappear in August back to the family to do the tomato bottling and that kind of thing. And slightly more difficult for Italian communities in Australia, of course.
The wonderful thing too about Italians and their roots is that they are so specifically regional, and that creates this tremendous variety in the food that you're looking at, in the pasta types, in the sauces. It varies so profoundly from region to region.
Absolutely. And if you show, a woman making pasta in Liguria to someone in Calabria, for example, they'll look at it and go, oh, that's interesting, but it's nothing to do with me.
What's the benchmark for an honour to be considered for your series? What are the criteria?
We have rules which are always being broken, but there have to be over 60. We like to film in their kitchens. We don't want chefs and we don't want sort of restaurant kitchens. If we find a pasta grandpa, we're very happy to film them. We've got one coming up in January, in fact. We've managed to track down a pasta grandpa. And yeah, actually, our youngest granny was actually 44. She managed to have her first child at 17 and she got going too. So,
and the kitchens, the backgrounds in which these women work are extraordinary too and tell a real tale of, as you say, that simple life. One of the features we quite like here are the aprons, which are ubiquitous, varied and very sturdy.
Yeah, housecoats. Aren't they fabulous? And they all get these very complicated ties at the back, or they're kind of double buttoned up at the front. I think someone should start making a collection of them. It's very difficult to find them. There's kind of the weekly markets, I think, is where you get them. But certainly the kitchens are fabulous. You know, they're often from the 1970s and no one has seen any reason to change them.
Which is an interesting thing in our time now where, you know, this moment of celebrity chef culture where everything has to have a foam, where the technology is extraordinary. To look at food in this simple way is, well, it's revelatory, but it's a reminder perhaps of, you know, a simpler, more achievable way of going about good food.
Yes, that's absolutely true. I think grannies are pragmatists, and if they can find ready grated Parmigiano, quite often they'll cheat. I think what I notice is that the generation who are in their 40s and 50s, women felt that they had to go out to work and there was no need to, you know, cook on a daily basis. But it's the next generation down, it's the 20s and 30s who feel differently. Because certainly the statistics of the audience for pasta grannies is hugely popular amongst the 25 to 35-year-olds.
What happened there, I wonder, because, you know, these were techniques, these were ideas around food, these were strict ideas about the preparation of traditional dishes that would once have been passed down rigorously generation to the next. Has a gap developed there?
I hope not. To an extent, maybe. I think you look at the economics of Italy and the further north you go, the more likely these traditions have been sort of loosened or lost. Certainly, you know, Lombardia and the Veneto, where that's where most of the sort of industry of Italy is, in Piemonte. Mm. You know, they're kind of reaching for the packets of pasta rather than making it themselves. But there are still pockets of people who do. So I think that's why we were going around and trying to collect them so that they're there for posterity. When we get ladies over 90, we kind of think, oh, we've got to get there. Don't die. We've got to, you know. But these birds are really wonderful. You know, the Cesaria, who's 95 now, fell over earlier in the year and she's bounced back up. She's still going.
What do they make of the fuss? What do they make of your interest and the attention?
They think it's like someone's interested in them making the equivalent of baked beans on toast. They think it's slightly bizarre that we would be so interested. So, yes. And sometimes their husbands come along. They think, you know, their wife has been doing this for 50, 60 years. And suddenly someone's come along to film her and they think, I have got to watch this. So you quite often see the husband lurking in the background.
For the first time watching his wife preparing the food. Was there anything in these extraordinary journeys that's really floored you, that's taken you totally by surprise?
I think the only challenging food I found was actually chestnut polenta in Tuscany.
Ooh.
Which is a little bit like wallpaper paste. It's a good reminder that, you know, one shouldn't romanticize poverty too much, because what they had to eat was sometimes really revolting, and we don't want to continue that tradition.
But that is the thing about the, you know, the romanticizing of poverty. But and you look at some of these recipes and flicking through your book and you see the simplicity of it. You see the amount of speck, for example, used for flavor, that there's no big fancy cuts of meat and so forth, that the things that go into these dishes are simple, readily grown, wonderful sort of conglomerations of simple life.
Absolutely, yes. I think it harks back to a time when, you know, you had your pig out the front door and he was killed in January and then had to last the entire year. So, you know, it's only small amounts of meat that go into a lot of pasta sauces. And the meat ragu ones are really only for Easter and Christmas. I mean, it's changed these days, but traditionally that was the case.
You mentioned the husbands that sometimes come in and lurk. It's noticeable too that there are friends of the acting nonna, the woman who's the center, often has a small chorus in the background.
Oh, a large one. Sometimes half of the village turns up. You know, it's a party. sometimes we have to sort of more or less kind of push past people. It's great fun.
You mentioned the chestnut polenta, and I can sympathise with with that mouth gluing experience. But on the other side of that, is there a? I know you can't have favourites, but has there been a standout dish?
Several. I'm particularly fond, actually, of the pastas from Liguria, where you've got sort of all the herbs and nuts. I like the idea of going out to forage for them first. In particular, there's panzotti, which is little pot-bellied ravioli that are stuffed full of minced up foraged herbs, and then you put a walnut salsa with it, which is kind of garlicky and chunky and is absolutely delicious.
And more than lessons in pasta, there are lessons in life here, are there not, about constancy, about tradition, about maintaining an enthusiasm for the world in your aging years?
Oh, yes. I think one of the things that stands out for me about these women is that how incredibly engaged and active they are, both with their families, in the community. And that seems to me one of the kind of keys of growing old well, if you like. Yeah.
Do you make your own pasta?
I do. I wouldn't like to be judged on it, but I do enjoy making pasta.
Well, it's a thing that you can get wrong, isn't it? I mean, it's a reasonably forgiving thing, and it doesn't matter if it's a little bit rustic.
It doesn't matter. You can call it something else if you were aspiring. Yes. Oh, this is not tagliatelle. This is going to be tacuna from Sardinia or something, Sicily, sorry, yes.
As long as you know the words, you can get out of any sort of trouble. A Bluffer's Guide to Pasta is an extremely fine idea. Vicky, thank you so much, and thank you for this venture. It's a window into so many wonderful worlds. Thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Vicky Bennison, food writer, producer of Pasta Grannies. Check out the series on YouTube. The book's out and about in shops as well. And this is Blueprint.